Hello and welcome to Harvest Church Podcast. Harvest Church is based in sunny Durban, South Africa. We are a family of believers who are passionate about Jesus. We really hope this message inspires you today.
I want to minister on us as a body. I've been talking about the theme of the body. Being naturally supernatural, a naturally supernatural body by design. And I might not finish today just with time, because it's been healthy family time. But I want to help us get one of the foundational realities of our faith and of Christianity is that we're not natural people with a soul having spiritual moments or spiritual times, like coming to church and having a spiritual moment. By design, you and I are spirit who have a soul and we live in a body. And if we could get this perspective right as the body of Christ, because that's how brilliant God has made us. Jesus is the example of that. We can need to shift our mindset to operate from a spiritual reality and a spiritual realm into this natural realm. It's most natural for you and I as spiritual beings to do spiritual things. And our world that we're living in needs a spiritual encounter. In Isaiah, it says, "Arise, shine," Isaiah 60. "For your light has come." It says darkness and thick darkness has covered the peoples. But his light, his glory is going to rise upon you. You look at the earth right now, where it is. You go and read Matthew 24. Jesus said, "These are the signs of the times." And he walks and he says, "Don't be alarmed." Wars and rumors of wars. And we need to be praying for Israel. We need to be praying for Palestine. We need to be praying for people in Ukraine. We need to be praying on the earth right now, because there's going to be 4 billion people having the opportunity to vote this year. Around about 60 nations. It's a pivotal point on the planet, and if we carry on trying to shift things through natural means, it's not going to change. There's two things. One, we have to trust God for a sovereign move of God that can speed up the process, because Jesus said this: you need to preach the gospel of the kingdom until the end comes. So what is the gospel of the kingdom? That's what we need to discover, because the gospel reveals that you and I are now part of a kingdom that operates in this world. There's two different realms that we're living in. We live in a spiritual realm and a natural realm. We live in these realms where the spiritual realm and the natural realm. The spiritual realm is governed by the kingdom of God. It's governed by the grace of God. Where our natural realm is governed by natural things. The kingdom of God versus the world system. The kingdom of God and the world system are operating simultaneously. And you enter one or the other by your choice or belief. So that's why we have to govern our lives by spiritual principles, which we find in the Word of God. This is going to build us up in maturity that we can no longer keep looking down from a natural perspective because of what circumstances and where the world is, but we keep looking down from a heavenly perspective, because that gives us a broad base of what God is doing on the earth. If we're living in this thing in the jungle of circumstances and everything that's pressing into us, we're going to fall, we're going to falter, and we're going to enter into the realm of the world, or the Bible says the elemental spirits or processes of the world, instead of having a heavenly perspective of how to view life as it should be from God's perspective. Now, why I say it's brilliant is because that has been given for the body of Christ to shape by our thought processes, our thought process governed by spiritual principles and His Word, then we decree and declare. And when you decree and declare from a spiritual perspective, authority comes and changes a natural reality. So these realms that we're living in are often in confrontation with one another. Your spirit is in confrontation with your flesh. The Bible says in Romans 8 that your flesh will produce death, but if we are governed by the Spirit, there's life and there's peace. You see, so how does the body of Christ now pray? Do we pray begging for God to do something, or do we pray seated in heavenly places, Ephesians 2:6, getting a perspective of what are you doing, God? So number one, we always pray. And I really feel we're in the process of seeing God speeding things up because of the revelation and the revealing of the kingdom of God. And you and I start taking on our mandate as the sons and daughters of God to bring heaven to earth. You see, religion wants, it only wants to teach you to evacuate. The kingdom of God wants to teach us that we need to bring heaven to invade. And it's only up to you and I, as the body of Christ. And then as the body of Christ gains momentum with one another in unity, we start to see the fullness of God. Because how do you and I, with what we're currently doing, change what's happening in nations? We have to start in the Spirit. And you declare, and you prophesy, and you speak. Amen. With the revelation knowledge that foundationally, I'm a spirit with a soul who lives in a body. You see, in Genesis 2:7, sorry guys, I'm not going to be able to use the slides. Time-wise, I'm just going to talk a bit. Genesis 2:7 says, God formed and fashioned a man out of the dust of the earth, and then He breathed on him. You and I are the only beings who hold two worlds in tension and are designed for that. What did Genesis say about Adam and the mandate that you and I have from Adam was this: to extend, to rule, to reign, to bring dominion, to multiply. Then He lost it. Then Jesus, the second Adam, comes and He redeems it. How did God want Him to multiply? He puts Adam to sleep. He takes the closest thing to His heart, a rib, and He forms and fashions Eve out of the same substance. It's natural. And then the breath of God gives them life. They become a living being, nefesh, a living soul, a living being that is able now to connect to God because it's God breathed, and then connect to this natural realm. And He said, I want you to continue multiplying what I've created and what I've designed, because the visible was created from the invisible. God, in the substance of who He is, created out of what was already existing in Him. And then He created. So you and I, out of the perspective of going, I am God breathed. So Adam and Eve come together. Their mandate, dominion, to rule, to reign, to multiply, must look like God's design. They lose it. The last Adam, not the second Adam, the last Adam comes, Jesus, and He redeems. But He's also got a bride, and that's you and I. It's the second Eve, if you can play with words. He puts Jesus to sleep on a cross. A birthing happens when something closest to his heart is pierced. He gets raised from the dead and the church is born. With the same nature by his spirit. Created Adam and Eve from the natural. He creates the body of Christ from the spiritual. So the realms that we'll have now is the substance, because Colossians says everything else that we do in life before Christ was a shadow, but Christ is the substance. So now on the earth you have Christ and those who are gravitating closer to Christ, because in Romans 8 it says the Spirit of God, you are predestined by the Spirit of God to be conformed into the likeness of Christ. Spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Conformed into the likeness. Not only in the spiritual, and we have spiritual moments, but we're living out of the natural all the time. We live so natural, so then we speak natural things. And then we end up back in the flesh that has been crucified by Christ. So we wrestle between the spirit and the flesh. And then in this in these realms, you've got the angelic and then you've got the demonic. And you and I have authority by design to bring the kingdom, which means we displace the demonic. So in your prayers, you might think it's ineffective. But when you go to God in prayer, with the revelation knowledge of who you are, you bring change and authority by design, because God, he wastes nothing. Amen. If your words and you posture your faith in truth, because either we're posturing our faith in circumstances, and what happens, you get frustrated and get disillusioned and disappointed. We posture our faith in the truth of what God has done. And then by design, he wants you to use this temple to bring about change. Foundational reality, you are a spirit. So here's the thing. When Adam was created, God made a suit for the man, not a man for the suit. So what does it say? When you pass on to glory, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Might have to redo this service on the second service, just because I'm going to have more time to really concisely go through this. Look what Jesus says. He speaks in John 17 as he's praying for us as a body. John 17, 14, he says, I have given them your word, speaking about you and I, and the world has hated them, because they're not of the world. We live in the world, but we're not of it. You're of a different world, but that different world, that different realm is inside of you, for the mandate to bring his world to this world. Jesus is going to fulfill that. But he doesn't want you and I to be apathetic in what he's mandated us to do, go hide in the corner and be a battered and bruised bride, waiting and calling for Jesus to come back to rescue us all. No, we're the body, we're the bride, on the move with the same righteousness, with the same infilling of the Holy Spirit, with the same empowerment of the Holy Spirit to get the job done. Now, Jesus, while we're doing that, probably going to get so excited and going, I need to go, Lord. And we wanting him to come now because of the state of the earth, but the deeper and darker it gets, the more revealing of light and glory needs to come into the church. Because when you shift your mindset to go, I am operating in the Spirit, you sow into the Spirit, and therefore it changes. That's where the Bible says His words will not return void. Because you're speaking what He speaks. You're decreeing what He decrees. And then in Romans it says, the whole earth currently right now is in groanings and in expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. You, when you speak truth, something happens. So when we see things and you think, I cannot change it, you can change it. Because you're posturing yourself as a royal son and daughter who's seated in the heavenly places, looking at what Jesus is doing, and then hearing what He's saying and speaking it. Because we need a move of God over the earth. 1994 was the last move of God that went all over the earth. And then we go through these ebbs and flows. But then the body comes into greater revelation of who they are. And corporately, we start to operate in truth and faith. And things start to shift. The Welsh revival started with two ladies who had sincere prayer in their heart, and then God used a man called Jonathan Edwards. And that Welsh revival shifted, and the Lord shifted a nation. They had to retrain the donkeys because those Welshmen used to swear at those donkeys, and the donkeys now didn't know how to operate when they spoke from a pure voice. They were like, huh? Who are you? They changed all the brothels into ladies' meetings and worship spaces and places. It was amazing to see a move of God shift over a whole nation. So we need the reviving of the body that then shapes, because when you revive, you speak differently. You declare differently. And the Bible says when you decree a thing, it comes to pass. The delay in what we see often gets us to halt or stop. You know, Renelle could have stopped when she heard the doctors say, you must go home and die. She said, no, I'm going to trust Jesus that my body is healed. When you consider your makeup and how God has made you, you can now speak to your body differently because your spirit is perfect. Adam and Eve caused spiritual death, therefore natural death. Jesus comes into the natural and He brings spiritual life. So He awakens your spirit. What was dead now becomes alive unto Him. And then you, in a sense, if there was a line here of two kingdoms and you could see this big door opening, the Bible says when you gave your life to God, you were transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Now, in the kingdom of light, there's an operating system. And if you want to learn how that operating system works, you look at the life of Jesus first and foremost. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but you keep them from the evil one. Not only keep us, then He taught us how to destroy the works of the enemy. You see, because now you're dealing with a spiritual reality. Don't go and play in spiritual realms that you have not discovered. Start with a little, and that'll increase in your life. How do you speed that process up? You know, in the 60s and the 70s, you got kicked out of churches if you got filled with the Holy Spirit and you prayed in tongues. But it was a revelation that moved the body of Christ into a new realm of discovery when it comes to the kingdom of God and bringing the kingdom of God. And it does certain things for you. It edifies you. It builds you up. The Bible says, pray in the Spirit, building up your most holy faith. So there's so many tools. You can speed that up by praying by the Spirit and in the Spirit. But unfortunately, the body of Christ is trying to fix things still in the flesh and in the natural. And we forget. It's like, no, I'm not natural. I have a soul. And then we try and fix the soul without acknowledging who you are as a new creation. So now you've got a movement on the earth, and I thank God for it because it helps people, but it's not Jesus' ultimate. You've got a movement, a therapeutic movement on the planet to try and help people, but some of it is still devoid of the Spirit. So we're fixing a natural soul realm without connecting people to their design. And how we connect people to the design? We preach the gospel to them. We reveal Christ to them. We reveal the love of God to them. They are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. And then he says in verse 24, Father, I desire that they also, whom you've given me, may be with me where I am to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Jesus said this to his disciples. He says, the Father sent me into the world. Now I'm going back to the Father. You and I, as born again believers, Spirit being made alive, now most susceptible for the Spirit of God to come upon you. Spirit of God in you is for you. Spirit of God upon you is for the world around you. Because most natural for spiritual beings to do spiritual things. Therefore, the gifts and the fruit are there. You now posture yourself in rest for that to be revealed. You can't strive for fruit. Have you ever seen an apple tree try and strive to produce fruit? So sometimes in the natural, we have to catch up to what God's doing in the spiritual. Sometimes you have to do natural things to prophesy and to break through into a spiritual reality. That's why the prophetic is so important within a house, genuine, authentic. Being naturally supernatural, it looks like how Jesus walked. It does not look mystical. It does not look weird. It doesn't freak people out. Jesus, he did it because he walked as the substance of the kingdom of God, the substance of that which created. He was the substance. He wasn't a shadow. He goes to the woman at the well and he says, "Hey, can I have a drink?" And she has this big dialogue that she can't give him a drink. And he eventually says, "I want to give you something to drink that you'll never thirst again." Why? Because he's revealing he's the substance of everything that she needs. He says, I'm the bread of life, whoever eats of me. You see, I was considering this. If Jesus was the bread of life, when he broke the bread, it was the process of his multiplication and the substance of who he was. And there's always leftovers when we connect to Jesus. Friends, it's time for the body to again come into a revelation and a revealing. It's like, I'm of God. Now, some earth suits are prettier than others. Hey, George. Some have got hair, some don't. But it's to be used for honorable, noble purposes. In Romans 6, is another principle of how you see the revealing of the kingdom of God. He says, no longer use the instruments of your body for unrighteousness. Use the body, use your ears and your eyes and your voice and every part of your body for righteousness. After he told you what he did in your spirit, he had to make you righteous. And then he says, now, don't use the instruments of your body for wickedness. You use your body. You see, the hard religious teaching would take us into the place of revealing Christianity as 10 things that you shouldn't do instead of a life that you've entered into. Now, I don't have to submit to the elementary things of this world, even what it has to offer my flesh. Because it cannot satisfy you. It's only when you connect to the realm of who God has made you by design. It's only when you get to connect that and having a foundational revelation. Man, I'm a spiritual being. And I'm a combination of heaven and earth. And my mandate is now to do what he commanded Adam to do. And Adam fell. Jesus came. He redeems all things. Now you and I carry on with the same mandate. Amen. We can't look down from a natural perspective because the enemy's there. We have to look down from a heavenly perspective. One quote, Howard Macy, he says, the spiritual world cannot be made suburban. It's always frontier. And if we would live in it, we must accept and even rejoice that it remains untamed. So early disciples knew that heaven was not the only place that they were going to go to one day, but must be brought to invade earth, the world or the natural realm, to look like his culture. 1 John 4:4. Little children, you're from God and you have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Amen. You live in this world, but you're not of this world. Amen. So therefore, every kingdom principle you get to operate out of. He says, don't connect in Colossians. Let me read it quickly to you. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. There's so many profound tools in two scriptures. See that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits or the natural universe or intellectualism or a religious system of the world and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. Adam lost authority. Jesus gained authority. Jesus gives you and I authority. Jesus says, as long as I am in the world, I'm the light of the world. Amen. As long as you now are in the world, he says, you're light of the world. We are brilliantly different from the rest of mankind by design. It might not be a revelation yet. You might not be walking in it, but the more you spend time studying the Word of God, it will be revealed to you. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I'm leaving the world and I'm going to the Father. And then he says to you and I, it's your turn. But Jesus operated from a spiritual perspective first. That's why he never submitted to anything that any rule, any authority, or any dominion, or any political reality that he lived in, and he lived in a powerful reality, the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Religion and political operations, he never submitted to it in a moment. Why? Because he knew he was the final authority. And then he takes you and I. He takes you and I, and he says, go, Des. When you worship and you decree in the Spirit, you bring truth. And when you and how you postured and what you feel called to and how God has made you and how he's designed you, he says, thank you, Barbara. Keep going. Keep going. As long as you've got an earth suit, you can shift things in the Spirit. Because when we're in heaven, then we become a great cloud of witnesses. So what I'm saying too is when you catch a revelation of this, you've always got purpose. You've always got purpose is to bring the kingdom of God here, to preach the gospel of the kingdom. You see, because it's nothing like the world. It's nothing like the systems of the world. It operates completely different. You're only going to discover it in the Word, and that's not going to happen on a Sunday. It's going to happen in an everyday dialogue as you study, as you engage. The body of Christ must rise to that. You can't, it can't be relied on one or two people here. It has to be body ministry. That's how the influence of the kingdom moves. You see, here's the thing about the glory of God. The glory of God is revealed when the body is functioning together. So when you and I figure that thing out, it's like, Esther, you and I are so important, we need one another. The glory of God comes there. Then now there's no more competition, and our purpose is so free from comparison, because you can be fully you and I can be fully me. Why? Because it's the kingdom that we want to see coming. Because his desire is that man be reconciled and reconnected to him. And you've got the part to play. Jesus at the well, I will finish now. Jesus at the well, he's revealing himself to a beautiful lady. And he speaks a truth that could hurt her, because it's like, man, you've been married a couple of times and the last guy you're not married to. But he revealed more to her, because in that day and age, you could divorce a woman if she couldn't have babies. So we don't know. We often want to go to, she's living a sinful life. But maybe she got divorced 4 or 5 times. Given herself. You can't have a baby, I'm divorcing you. You see, so often we think sinful, but we don't realize the pain that she could have been walking through. And Jesus comes and he reveals himself to her. And she's honest and open. He's like, the last guy you're not even married to. And she's like, oh, what's the point? He's only going to divorce me. You see, if we study these things, we can see the real revealing of Jesus. Often we see religion tells you Jesus wants to deal with her sin. Now he was dealing with her pain. She was dealing with her desire for family and all these things. And then she'd given up. And she goes to the well at 12 o'clock, not early in the morning. She goes where it's hot. Because why? No one else is going to be there. Because she doesn't want to reveal her shame. She don't want to be in that moment where society, and then Jesus comes and he reveals himself and he shares a word. She runs to the city. Says, this is a man. He's told me everything about me. Half the city believes, the rest of the city run to Jesus. One moment in the Spirit transforms a city because one person got healed. He revealed himself in the Spirit to her because he wasn't governed to the natural. That's why in 2 Corinthians it says we no longer regard anything according to the flesh. If we could start to see by the Spirit, we'd see past people's frailties, their pains, their sin, their desperation in life, because we see what God sees in design, and then people have got a choice when you bring the representation of that. You're a spirit connected to God as spirit, who has a soul, who has faculties, who's able to touch, who's able to encourage, who's able to use our senses to grab a world that is only caught up in their senses. And they have no identity, so I have to change who I am, and I have to change my gender, and I have to be accepted in this, and I do all these things to change the external because my internal's in so much pain. Why? Because their spirits are dead. They need the revealing of an alive. Christ is alive. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you that today we could do family, that I could mumble, and I trust that some things have fallen upon us as a foundation, that we are made of you and we are made of the substance of who you are. And we are your bride that was birthed. And you trust us so much that you said it's better that I go, that I can bring and send the promise of the Father that's going to transform you and empower you to bring transformation. Bring your revealing and bring your revelation. Holy Spirit, we're desperate for a habitation externally upon us that we look and go, that is God. It's only God. But at the same time, help us, Holy Spirit, to see ourselves rightly from your perspective. Jesus, you Lord, take ownership of us. Take ownership of what confesses you as Lord. Amen.